We're going to jump in today, and we're following up on What Makes You Different series that on evangelism that Nick started. Didn't Nick do a phenomenal job last week? My goodness. So I love this title so much, so I just added the name Jesus to it. What makes you different? Jesus, you know. And I want to chat with you, but as we do this, let's go ahead and take a moment, because we've entered into the presence of the Lord. We've prayed with and for one another. We've given in an act of worship, and now we're going to open our hearts and our minds to what the Holy Spirit would say. Jesus actually said 7 times in the book of Revelation, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches, and He's saying things to us. And so we want to hear. By the way, when you come in the door, you may need to hear something that this other person over here doesn't need to hear. They need to hear something you don't. And it's amazing to me how God takes an active work of the Spirit into the hearts and ends up saying things to people and causes their hearts to, the needs to be met in the room. It's really quite extraordinary. Jesus is good, isn't He? He's given us the Holy Spirit. So let's prepare ourselves that way. Father God, I thank You for each hungry heart here. I thank You, Lord, that now I just have a sense that You're going to strip away callous today. There's some callous buildup, some things that have just been hard knocks in life, things where it's just been gotten callous. The Lord wants to strip away the things that would harden the heart. So, Lord, we just open to that today. Whoever here is in need of that softening, that renewing, we pray that Your word does that today. In Jesus' name, every need in the room, we pray, be met. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you about Tim Tebow for a moment. Tim Tebow was, in 2009, he led the Florida Gators in a 13-1, and got into the playoffs. And we got into the playoffs, and during that season, he had, you know how they put the black under the black eye stuff, and they take a little silver marking and they mark stuff, and everybody had different things on there. And he had Philippians 3:14, and, you know, people look up 3:14, it means I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know. So he had that on all that whole season, and they went all the way to the playoffs, and they get there, and the Lord's dealing with him. He doesn't know what to do with this. He says, oh, gosh, I just feel like, he calls his mom, well, I don't know if you should do that. His dad says, go for it. The Lord keeps speaking to him. But John 3:16, because it's a playoff game. There's a lot of people watching, and so he just finally does it and doesn't think anything of it and just goes and does it. He gets a report back. 94 million people. Go ahead and put that picture. 94 million people Googled John 3:16. 94 million. You know what he said? He said, I didn't know 94 million people actually didn't know what that meant. Because he grew up, his mother was encouraged to get an abortion because she had some kind of a, I don't know what it was, but there was something wrong with the pregnancy, and she said, no, in Jesus' name, I'm giving this baby. And there was a special purpose on this man's life. And so this is 9 years ago this happened. Well, then 3 years later, he's with the Denver Broncos, and they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, and the Broncos won. And he heads into the post-game press conference where his public relations representative stopped him in his tracks. He said, hey, Timmy, did you realize what happened? I was like, yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play in the Patriots. And he says, no, I mean, did you realize what happened? He said, it's exactly 3 years later from the day that you wore John 3:16 under your eyes. He says, yeah. I was like, yeah, okay, that's really cool. He said, no, I don't think you realize what happened. During that game, you threw 316 yards. Your yards per completion were 31.6. Your yards per rush were 3.16. And the ratings of the night were 31.6. And the time of the possession was 31 minutes and 6 seconds. And during the game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. He says it was the number one trending thing on all platforms, on every platform. He says, God was just showing off. God was speaking to me. And this was the verse. Go ahead, next verse. God so loved the world. This is the essence of a Christianity. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Read it with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 94 million people found out that John 3:16 was an invitation for them to come to know Jesus, just because he put it under his eyes. Powerful. You never know how God's going to work in the world, do you? He's working in an extraordinary way right now through another young man. I got on Facebook, I don't have the picture there, but I've got some other pictures off. I have a friend that in the past when we would do the cleansing stream ministry at Joseph Garling's church, there's a guy named Kagi, Kagi Bear, kind of funny. But anyway, really good piano player. Two nights ago, he was at Baton Rouge. And Kanye West has been doing these Sunday morning programs. They call them Sunday morning things. And he had a picture, and there was over 1,000 young people went to the platform out of 6,000 and received Jesus. And he says this. He says, tonight, Candace and I got to experience Kanye West Sunday service at Bethany Church in Baton Rouge. If you've ever doubted the legitimacy or spiritual impact of this Sunday service project, simply look at this incredible shot that was taken during the altar call. Don't put anything up yet, because I don't have the altar call. It says, yes, I said altar call. To answer those hitting me up on the DMs, no, this was not a stage that was set up to absorb the spotlight and share an unbiblical gossip according to Kanye. On the contrary, he maintained an impressive posture of humility for the entire service, allowing more seasoned and mature believers such as the choir director and a personal mentor pastor to carry the weight of facilitating ministry. Also, when he entered the performance area, he did with no formal or audacious introduction whatsoever. He just strolled in holding two of his children and shaking hands with fans. Also, along the same lines, 80% of the service was the band and choir led, so he only stepped on the stage twice during the entire event. The remaining time, he was either worshiping or having fun with the choir or just enjoying the moment with a big cheesy grin on his face. He most definitely was not the egocentric loose cannon that many have known him to be from past scenarios. Tonight, worship was lifted, the name of Christ was exalted, the word of God was preached, a multitude prayed together, the gospel was clearly proclaimed, and an opportunity to respond was given in the crowd of 6,000 people from all walks of life, all ages and all races. I witnessed over 1,000 individuals respond to the gospel by raising their hands to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Say what you want and think what you want, but trust me when I tell you, the Spirit of the living God was indeed present tonight. I danced, I wept, I stood in awe of God's redemptive work, and can honestly say that tonight I witnessed a new wave of revival firsthand. Behold, I do a new thing. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Go ahead, let's put the picture. This is the choir director, and he has the choir director. I think it's Jason something. He has him, or I don't know who's who, but they have him and his pastor. Jeremiah Johnson was a prophet, and he had a powerful, about a year ago or something, he was saying he saw in a vision that Kanye was going to be given a mentor, and he has one. And so this person, and they just walk with him and do all this stuff. And let's go to the next one. And this is him with his kids. He's got three daughters. Kim Kardashian is his wife. And so that's their little kids. And he's just treating them out there. He wants to have seven kids, apparently. He's going to keep at it. And this is a song he does at the end.
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow.
That's it. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. What makes the difference? What makes you different? Jesus. Jesus makes you different. Jesus made Tim Tebow different. Jesus made Kanye different. The first fill in the blank today is know the difference. Know the difference. Now, as soon as you fill that in, I'd like you to turn over to the back. I want to read what the scripture says here. This is Paul talking about our resurrected bodies. Everybody say body. Okay, he says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are also those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Somebody say, praise the Lord there. So I made a little list here on the first left side. There's the first man, Adam. He's a life. He's a living being. He's natural, from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, life-giving spirit, spiritual, from heaven, man of heaven. Jesus Christ has come as the second, the last Adam, the second man to start redeeming us back. Everybody look up here. He created us, and we'll get to this in a little bit more thickly, but he created us, and then we fell. He created us, and then we fell. So there's a restorative, redemptive process that we walk through. And Jesus Christ has given us, given for us. So let's look at the next passage. It's right there. It says Romans 5, 17 through 19. It says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. See, we're contrasting again. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. I thought it would be helpful just to look at what this one man, Adam, did. He trespassed. That's the fall. And then that led to death. So there's death and then condemnation. Now all men live under condemnation and the fear of death. And then there's this disobedient attitude because of his disobedience, and all are sinners in need of a Savior. This is where you're at without Christ. This is where we all, this is where we are. We're Adam's race. This is the side we're on. We're dead in our sins. We're lifeless. It's like we're in a sleep, and then God comes to awaken us out of our sleep and give us a hope in Christ. So this new man comes, Christ Jesus comes, the one man Jesus, and he comes, and now there's an abundance of grace. Everybody say abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. We talked about grace before, last 2 weeks ago. I can't get into that right now. But this unmerited favor of God comes to us, and there's something so distinctly powerful about this in that you can never, when you start with the gospel, you can never get off of that. What's that mean? It came by believing. It didn't come by you working. It didn't come by any effort on your part ever. And for you to continue in Christ, you need to continually believe in him to do the things in you that you cannot do in your own self. That's the gospel of God, and that will carry you all the way to the end. You cannot get off on your mind thinking, okay, I've messed up, so now I've got to have a timeout and got to put shame on myself for a while because I did wrong. No, no, no. Turn to Jesus right then. Jesus took the time out. All of the wrath of God was poured upon him. Well, what about, yeah, you got, yeah, look, you're in Adam's race, condemnation. That's on the left side. Let's look on the right side. free gift of righteousness. But I don't deserve it. But I don't deserve it. That's right. You don't deserve it. So don't let that be your argument for being stuck in condemnation. Because you do not deserve it. It's a free gift. Come on, somebody just... Somebody needs this sword piercing down through all that layers of I have to do better. I have to do better. Why don't you just surrender the one who does all of it? But how do you do that? How do you do it? You just get the deep relationship with Jesus that he's asked you for. I don't know if I want that. Then you're going to labor out here in your lost little duck and high weed self. Because everything about the gospel is putting you in closer connection with the source. Jesus Christ, always. And what he says, instead of death, you get to reign in life. Instead of condemnation, justification. Here's justification. You ready? He says, here's your report card. See that big red F? You failed. You know why it's red? Because that's the fires of hell. You flunked. You're going to an eternal separation from God. Because you can't do it on your own. God says, give me your report card. I'm going to give you Jesus' report. A plus. Perfect. Now, this is what I'm giving to you. It's a free gift. In my eyes, this is who you are. I'm not ashamed of you. You're still carrying around shame of yourself, but I'm not. I'm not ashamed of you. I see you complete and whole and my glory in you. Because the Lord is always going to have that view of you were made in his image before the fall. Before the sin entered. That's what he sees. And that's what Jesus came to redeem us to. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. Nobody can boast about earning their way into heaven. It's a free gift, and you rely on Jesus the entire way. How do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? I know how. I found out that I can't do it. I just can't live for Jesus without Jesus. Every time I need to go deeper, I need to go further, closer to him to make it. And the closer I get, he goes, hey, how about let's get rid of this? And it's up to you and me to go, I've had that a long time. You don't want that in my life anymore. You want me to repent of having that in my life. But I like it. It's been my friend a long time. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank there. That's your part. But I want to fill up. There's a joy that I'm going to give you that you've never experienced before. There's a peace that that's in the way of. There's a fulfillment and a touch on your life that that's not going to have the full impact of your life. And there's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory and things that I want to do in you that how many of you want more of the Lord? When you come to City Church, we're going to be talking about that. If you embrace Jesus and make him your Savior and put your faith in him, that makes you different. What makes you different? That makes you different. If you've moved from a place of death in sins and placed your life in Jesus Christ, that makes you different. If you turn from your sin, turn to Christ, you're different. If you've been forgiven, how many of you have been forgiven? And your soul is cleansed. How many of you have felt that deep transformation? How many of you have... Listen. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. You got to just hear this. Babies poop in their diapers. Did you know that? And somebody else cleans it up. Did you know that? Babies don't clean their own diapers. They poop, and then just when you're done, they do it again. And then you clean it up, and they do it again. Who are these little people? They're brand new believers in Christ. They poop, and then somebody else cleans it up. And they poop, and somebody else cleans it up. And they poop, and somebody else. But one day you grow up. If you're still pooping and somebody else is still cleaning it up, you need to grow up. Because that makes you different when you grow up. Babies are just all happy about the fact that, I'm clean now. Thanks, Pastor. But when you're 40 years old, and you're still doing it, and you met the Lord when you were 20, are you there? You need to learn how to let Him do it in your life, right? Now you're alive on the inside. You were dead, but now you're alive. That makes you different. The weight of your sins were on your shoulders. Now they're lifted off. That makes you different. The joy you have now instead of depression. Come on, somebody. That makes you different. That makes you different. The peace that you have instead of turmoil. That makes you different. And people looking at what makes you different. Those things make you different. You know that God will be with you no matter what happens. That makes you different. Other people don't have that. That makes you different. Learning to communicate with God by reading the Bible and listening to what He impresses in your heart. That makes you different. People in darkness, people in death, in their sins, they don't have the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit leading them. That makes you, sets you apart, that causes you to be different. Those who do not know Jesus, you can look. You can have a cultural Christianity and be dead in your sins. You can go to church, be dead in your sins. You got to know the person of Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, then none of this is yours. And there's no difference in your life except you got some kind of a outward thing going on. But the inward thing is this intimate, sweet relationship with God. How many of you just receive, walk through the day and Holy Spirit will say, stop right there just for a minute. You stop there for a minute and the Spirit of God will just come upon you. How many of you do the... He says, stop just a minute. I'm just going to hug you for a minute. And the sweet, satisfying life of Jesus happens. There's all kinds of things like that. I just want to be always be available for that. Number two, grow in. First one is know. You got to know the difference. And I gave you a little theology background. I gave you some of that. Talked about just a few practical areas. The baby poop thing, that goes in this one, doesn't it? You got to grow. Everybody say grow in. Grow in the difference. Grow in the difference. We see that Kanye is not trying to do it all. Kanye's doing what he does. Then he gets those anointed to do their part, to do their part. People who've been around a long time who understand how to facilitate ministry, who function in the Holy Spirit to gather souls into the kingdom, who read by the Holy Spirit, what's next, what's next, what's next. Seasoned people with a sensitivity to the Lord, prepared by the Lord for their role in the body of Christ. That's why I love coming to church. That's why I love it. Every time I go into Walmart, almost every time, I pray, Lord, is there somebody here, somebody on the street, anybody here? And every now and again, He whispers something to me, and I got something. Sometimes I just pray it. Sometimes I share it with Him. But he says things. There's burdens on the Lord's heart. I want to go ahead and say this. Wednesday night we came in, those of you who were praying. When I was driving down the connector, I had a witness in my spirit. The Lord said, I'm going to run this meeting. The Lord said that. He said, in my spirit, I'm going to run this meeting. I said, yes, sir. I got here. I talked to everybody for a minute. So we're going to take this time to do some prayer, and then we're going to flow into the harp and bowl thing. We're going to pray, and then we're going to worship. We're going to pray and worship. This is our style. We're going to do that and just wait upon the Lord. Then suddenly, the Holy Spirit poured out an anointing for us to intercede. It was over 10, 15 minutes, and we prayed for all of the homeless, and those that are addicted, and we couldn't get off of it. It was like, the Lord, we want to be here for what you want us to pray for. And this anointing, those in you were here, you're nodding your heads, this is the powerful, powerful thing. He just wouldn't. I said, the Lord cares deeply about those who are broken at that level in society. Broken so deeply that they can't move forward. Let me go ahead and tell you, this whole series on evangelism, I need to put this in here. Somebody prayed for you if you know Jesus. Somebody prayed for you. That's why my spiritual dad, Larry Titus, told me 15, 20 years ago, he said, I want you to pray and claim every soul in North Central West Virginia. Because some people, you'll be the only person that ever prays for. And so I've started doing that, and it's built up in my heart over a period of time. And I know it's true, because I heard a message years ago. Somebody said, if you know Jesus today, somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. And you can ask the Lord, and He'll tell you who it was. And I went, oh, I can ask the Lord, and He'll tell me who it was. I said, Lord, who was it? The Lord said, Marvin Flippin. Marvin Flippin. Marvin was a Pepsi Cola driver on a truck that you go around the stores and deliver Pepsi Cola. Two summers, I would get on his truck and I would go do all the grunt work. I'd pick up all them empty Pepsi bottles and get them. I got so buff. I was carrying all the 16-ounce crates. I was just looking like a little Hulk. But this man would talk. You know, it was all bottles and cans. This man would talk and tell me these experiences. I just thought he was odd. But he was so loving. He's so tender-hearted. And all those years, those two summers, he was claiming my soul for Jesus Christ. He was claiming me. Who are your neighbors? Who are the people you work? Claim their souls for Jesus Christ. Claim their souls for Jesus. Claim their souls. And the Lord will move in your heart, and then there'll be an openness, a relationship. Something will happen. Claim. Hello, hello. And somebody will say, well, who was it? And it may be a word of knowledge. Somebody will say, well, that Roger Thrower, or that Lori, or that John, or that Nick, or Shelley. The Lord says, Shelley did it. She prayed you in. And the Lord will tell them. It's so important. How many of you are catching my drift here? Now, I'm going to take a little springboard into this text about grow the difference. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. I'm going to hustle through here, but I just want to say this. Notice, now you don't have this scripture here, and I'm going to read it aloud, but this is where this main verse, which is down in, 1 Peter, just that's on your place, that's the mention there, but I don't think the scripture is written out completely. It's 1 Peter 3:8-17. And this is the context for what we've been talking about when it says down in verse 15, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The concept here, prepared to make a defense, this is the word apologeo, and it's where we get the concept of apologetics, to have a reason for a Christian defense, to know why you believe what you believe, right? And so it says, no. So here's the whole context. Here's the context. Let me just go ahead and tell it to you. He's saying, I want you to have unity. I want you to have a humble mind. I want you to have a tender heart. I want you to have sympathy. I want you to have brotherly love. And I don't want you to retaliate. When somebody puts you down, I don't want you to strike back. I don't want you to revile when somebody reviles you. I don't want you to do that. How many of you are really good at that? I stink at that. What is he doing? He says, I'm going to give you a picture of who you are before the fall. I'm going to show you who you really are before you fell in your Adamic nature. There's no way you can do this except Jesus do it in you, but you can will to do it, and His power will come in and give you the ability to do it, and you can become somebody that doesn't strike back when you're struck. And you can take on the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and this is what this is about. You can do that. You don't have to react the way people treat you. You can actually treat them better than they treat you. You can be a blessing, he says, do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. To this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. He says, you're going to obtain a blessing being like Jesus. And then you're in the situation and your emotions are like really revved up and you're ready like to punch the person out. And you hold back and you don't do it. And you enter a deeper intimacy with the Lord, which is good because Jesus felt like punching them out. But he didn't do it. He didn't revile. Felt like it. So this is, anyway, it goes on to this whole thing here, and it's this, basically. It's just simple, and I'll get into the next point, and we'll have a little time of communion. It's this simple, simple thing. What makes you different is you've grown up. And you cherish your relationship with Jesus Christ more than anything else. And you want to be like him no matter what. And when people are putting you down, you go, well, I wonder what's in their hearts. Because we're in a culture now that's more and more contrary to Christ. And if you walk in him and don't become a judgmental, you've seen him. Spend all the rest of your life fighting with people on Facebook that you don't know. That's not the spirit of Christ. There's certain people have an articulate ability to communicate, but when the spirit of fighting is there, I don't know who's being represented. Surely not the Spirit of God. And it says, if you do this, if you have a reason for the hope that's in you with gentleness and have a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Let me say, people who are really, really mixed up in a lot of confusion are coming out of it these days. People who have been given over to all kinds of confusion are coming out of it. Did you hear me? People today, there's a turning in the culture, and people who've really been messed up, and there's a fight going on. I'm not going to get into the fight, but I just want you to know, there's people coming out of deep darkness today. They're coming out of deep darkness, and the Lord's at the head of it, and we want to be right there along with them, encouraging them. Number three, show the difference. You got to know, you got to grow in it, you got to show it. Show the difference. Show the difference. You have to. It says this, that Jesus actually said in this next verse, it says, Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There are moments in your life where God downloads an incredible strength and stamina. And Paul said it this way. He says, do not be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about reliving your golden moments with the Lord, number one. Number two, just be in constant prayer and fellowship with the Lord, and he begins to do things in you that you couldn't do in yourself. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed. Look at the word, the power, the power. Listen, I said this a little earlier. It's not a power of God. The gospel is not a power. The gospel is not one of the things. It is the thing. It is the power of God. The power of God for bring salvation in every realm of your life. So what we want to talk about is this. Your story, your testimony. If I say your story, your testimony. A testimony is based on this. These clothes were filthy. I tried everything to get them out until I tried Tide. And now my clothes are spotless because I was this way, but now my clothes are this way. The before and the after, that is a testimony. And you have one in Jesus. I was this way. What is your this way? I was going through a test. Do we have that up there? This last. When you come through a test, you have a testimony. When Christ redeems your mess, you have a message. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. So our goal and our assignment that Nick gave us last week is sit with somebody and talk about the things that Jesus has done in your life. The moment you came to him, the moment something dynamic happened, or you went through a long season, but the Lord was with you there the whole way, and you came out the other end, and you didn't think you, without the Lord, I don't, we've said this many times, we don't even know how anybody is married without Jesus. That's our testimony. We have no idea how it even works without Jesus in the middle. Jesus has done something in you. Go ahead and pass out the, let's go ahead and take, now look, by the way, if you don't know the Lord and don't want the Lord, let me go get one here. If you don't know the Lord and don't want the Lord, this is a worthless thing. It's probably just really dumb to do because it's the Lord's table and it's basically where the Lord brings people before himself and he imparts something to them. If you don't want anything from Jesus, then this is not your place. So you can just stick it in your pocket. But if you have a desire before the Lord, let me just talk about testimony for a minute. It might have been that you were very fearful and dreaded everything. I know I was, because of the way I was treated. I'll never forget meeting Jesus. I'll never forget it. I went down on my knees for about 40 minutes, and I wept and wept and wept and wept and wept. I didn't know what was going on at the time, but when I got up, people said, "You look so different. You're glowing." Something happened, something so powerful. I couldn't even articulate it. I just knew that the Lord said, "Do you want me, my love?" It was a real simple thing because the Lord, I was just a real interesting way he did it. But basically, he gave me a choice. He said, "Here's the lake of fire, and you don't know it, but that's where you're headed. Now, would you like this love over here, or would you like the lake?" Well, I think I don't really want the lake. But I'm nervous about the whole thing. You want the love? Yeah, what the love. Love came in, most powerful thing. I couldn't stand up anymore. I grabbed a pole, slid to the floor, and cried and cried and cried and cried. You don't have to have an emotional experience. I know of a man that was a military guy. Like my dad came to the Lord. He just come down. So you said if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, because it's like a commanding officer. Jesus is the Lord of us. So you say, put my faith in Jesus Christ and I have eternal life, right? Yes, I do that. It's done. Act of will, I receive. It's done. God goes, write that name in the book of life. He believes. Many nights we prayed with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts, a hope for song we barely understood. Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We've been moving mountains long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe somehow you will. You will when you believe. In this time of fear, when prayer so often proves in vain, hope seems like the summer bird too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here, my heart so full I can't explain, seeking faith and speaking words I thought I'd never say. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe somehow you will. You will when you believe. Lift that bread up there. Lift that cracker. Do you need a miracle in Christ Jesus? He never changed. He doesn't wheel and deal on the side. He lays it all down. And when you put your trust in Him, He comes through. Let's praise the Lord together. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's an oppression lifting off of a soul right now. It's been there a long time. The Lord show me. You're trusting and it's lifting. Praise the Lord. Just go ahead and praise Him. It feels funny not to be oppressed. It feels funny to not be oppressed. It was like a blanket. You kept it on you. You've kept it on you. You feel like this is my blanket. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. I'm going to lift it off you right now. Lifting the oppression off of you right now. I'm going to ask those that are praying, just pray in the Spirit under your breath there. Just fill the room with intercession. The Lord's working. Jesus, you're the apple of His eye. He wants to take all those things. There's a faith rising in somebody right now. There's a faith rising to believe in Jesus for something. I think it's a health issue. And the Lord's saying, just let me love you right there. You've had this doubt that the Lord was there for you. You've had the Lord for you in other areas. The Lord says, I'm still for you right here. Just go ahead and make a moment of surrender before Him in your own soul. I'm going to surrender freshly to you here. And I'm going to put my faith in you. The Lord's renewing you. He's restoring you. He's stirring up your faith in Him to be for you. To do this. I want to pray in the Spirit so bad I'm about to explode. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There have been some long-standing bondages that some of you have just right now in Jesus' name. Things that have just been deep inner things that have held you back. The Lord's right here, right now. He's right here. He's right here, right now. He's going to make an exchange with you. You're going to take the bread in and you're going to take the renewed sense of life in Christ, and He's going to take something away from you that you don't need. Would you let Him do it right now? Let's partake with faith. Let's partake with faith. Praise you, Lord. Would you lift your gratitude before the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's receive the cup. Take that in hand. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new babe in Christ. It doesn't matter if you've known the Lord for 90 years. Everybody relies on Jesus every moment. Everybody relies on Jesus every moment. When the real stuff is needed, you know it's not you, it's always the Lord doing it. I feel like the Lord wants to change perspective. You've been looking at something a certain way, and there's limitations. And the Lord's not into that. He's into seeing you filled with Him like a young and mighty man or young and mighty woman of God, filled with the Spirit, going past where you've gone before. And somehow, entanglements, things that you shame yourself over, hold you back. Somehow the devil said, you're disqualified, and you've believed it, hook, line, and sinker. And the Lord's saying, no, I'm the one who qualifies whoever I call. And I'm changing it today. And I don't know how to probe deeper in this, but there's things where people have been feeling like they're disqualified. And the Lord says, this is not where you're staying. You're not staying in a disqualified spot. And this is why the blood's here. This is why the blood is here. You can look at a situation so long, you think that's the way it's always going to be. Is that right? You can look at resistant hearts in your family and think they're always going to be resistant. No, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. Look at you. He got you, didn't he? He got you out of that group. Let's lift a cup and just praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. There's a power that the Lord wants to impart in us. Some of you haven't known it, and the Lord wants to put a new supernatural faith. We're rejoicing with you, Kelly. Kelly's cancer-free. She's new in our body life. We love her all like crazy love you. And and we prayed that the glory of God fill every cell. Let's rejoice with her. He does miracles. Jesus is a miracle touch God. Let's lift a cup. Let's just praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're just going to claim thousands and thousands of souls coming to Jesus Christ in Fairmont. Thousands and thousands of souls. We're going to claim, Lord, in our families, healing in every way. Salvation, physical healing, emotional healing, financial breakthroughs, blessings, lifting people out of the dust and making something beautiful. We're just, Lord, this is who you are. It's who you are. It's what you do. And now right now we decree by the power that's in the blood that was represented in this cup that every nagging, sinful failure, the grip of it, be broken off of every soul in here. The cup that Jesus drank so that you wouldn't have to be embittered with failure is the cup that he took on to destroy all the yokes that would weigh you down, every single one of them, every single sin, every single thing. This is a blood-washed covenant that he gives to each soul. Let's receive it with the power that he intends it to be received. Full forgiveness for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody praise the Lord with me, would you? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we said earlier, salvation doesn't have to be wildly emotional. It's just real. There's some people that'll come to church and they'll go home and life is different and they don't know what happened, but life is different. Jesus did something, and it's not the same way. It's just a freedom that comes where, because you let God's Spirit get involved. So let's lift our heads together. Lift your head there. Father God, I pray for the power of your love to permeate every heart and mind. I pray that you come and rest upon. And Lord, I pray too that the testimonies begin to well up and flow out. As we claim neighbors around our life, people we know, we just want to become a people that somebody gets to heaven, they say, how'd you get here? Well, so-and-so prayed for me. And it's you. You're the reason somebody's in heaven. That's what we want to get in our hearts. Now, if you have need for other follow-up prayer, we're here to do that, so we're going to dismiss now. In Jesus' name, let the Lord continue doing. We have a wonderful time of fellowship next door. Let's go ahead and the fireplace is lit up too. So this is, you're dismissed. Love on each other.